Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Little Pete says, hey, men, you should be free to just be able to go and knock up women whenever you want. That's freedom without any responsibility whatsoever. Welcome back to the show. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Thank you for being here today on this Tuesday, busy day, of course, always a very busy day, but I'm grateful that you're here. So the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. So I had a laugh when Mayor Pete Buttigieg was talking about abortion and had this to say regarding the fact that men are actually freer with abortion. And all I keep thinking of is the guys that are out there thinking like, is she going to keep it or not before they make their irresponsible decisions? But no, this is how the left thinks. It's a little bit hedonistic, nihilist, if you will. We're nihilists. We believe in nothing. Wow, that sounds exhausting.
I'm so glad she has made freedom the theme of her campaign, because I think in so many ways that's what's at stake. And yes, women's freedom is exhibit A after Donald Trump demolished the right to choose. But of course, men are also more free in a country where we have a president who stands up for things like access to abortion care. Men are more free.
Men are more free to knock them up and take no personal responsibility. That's basically what little Pete Buttigieg is saying right there. First of all, Donald Trump did not destroy the right to choose, as he puts it. The United States Supreme Court overturned Roe, and abortion is legal in many states in the country. But this is what they're talking about. Again, this is the only issue they have is abortion. This is abortion. That's all they have. And if they keep going with that, well, you're going to see them lose, because it's not the issue that's on the American people's mind right now. It's just simply not. Nobody really believes it's going to be illegal in a place like Pennsylvania or Michigan. Nobody believes that anytime soon. So the idea that this is going to be what drives people in November is just simply not going to happen. It's just not. Now, I think it's kind of weird the way that they all pile on and say that everything is weird. But that's the thing. I mean, this is proof that the corporate media, big tech, they're all working overtime to say J.D. Vance is weird. So Tom Elliott at Grabian, he does a great job of this. He puts together these super montages. And this is a super montage of all the people in the corporate media saying the same thing over and over again, because this is what they do. I told you this yesterday. They get their talking points and they all say it. They echo it. And, you know, Tom Elliott's analysis was showing that CNN and MSNBC were leading the way with this. But of course, by yesterday afternoon, The View was calling J.D. Vance weird. People on ABC News and CBS, they were all saying weird. It's what they do. But take a listen to this.
Some of what he and his running mate are saying, well, it's just plain weird.
These guys are just weird. That's who they are.
As weird and creepy as J.D. Vance.
Super weird idea from J.D. Vance.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's quite weird.
They're just plain weird.
Just plain weird.
Just plain weird.
That stuff is weird. They come across weird and then they start being weird. Yeah, they're weird.
Being a really weird.
He's such a weirdo.
Donald Trump and his weirdo running mate are weird. Deeply and profoundly weird.
They are weird.
These Republicans just being weird. It's just weird. It's really weird.
Republican weirdness goes even deeper.
He said a lot of things that are weird, a weird style that he brings, weird policies.
Let's start with the weird thing, because it is a thing.
Just plain weird.
What was weird was his talking about Diet Mountain Dew. Who drinks Diet Mountain Dew?
Who ever seen the guy laugh? That seems very weird to me that an adult can go through 6.5 years of being in the public eye. If he has laughed, it's at someone, not with someone. That is weird behavior.
Weird and cultish.
These are weird people on the other side.
He kind of doubled down on his weird ideas.
I think weird is probably generous.
Simply weird.
These guys are just plain weird.
Vance as weird?
You know, as the campaign said, weird.
It really is just plain weird.
J.D. Vance, plain weird.
No, I mean, I don't know how else you could read it.
Weird. It is kind of weird.
We're not afraid of weird people.
The other side, they're just
weird.
Why are you being so weird?
Vance has done something more extreme, more weird.
No matter what kind of weird stuff they keep saying,
Trump and Vance are just weird. In addition to being dangerous to democracy.
It's the weird part that's the most engaging.
Whom he addressed as my beautiful Christians, which was super weird.
Weird tech bro, J.D. Vance.
He's a weird guy.
J.D. Vance, uneasy and sort of weird.
Frankly, for lack of a better word, that he's weird.
Sarcastic remarks that aren't even funny, and he kind of shows that he can't really deliver a one-liner.
So, Sam, weird is the word here in terms of initial impressions from Vance to the American public.
Weird is the word. Weird is the word. Weird, 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 weird is the word. Okay, you see, this is what they do. This is what the corporate media does. They repeat ad infinitum, and they just go out there and they push the talking points. And it's exhausting, quite frankly, for people. It's exhausting. You know, people listen to this stuff over and over again, and they just, I think they tune out. They tune out, in my opinion, because it just gets so freaking exhausting to hear them say the same thing over and over and over again. And you know, the thing about it is that the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, this guy, man, he wants to be Kamala Harris's pick so bad. And he's preaching from the mountaintops again. Yesterday, I told you how he rolled out the fake Southern accent. Well, he's back at it, dropping curse words again. This is Josh Shapiro working blue, adults only. Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses.
He's not just afraid to debate her because he knows she's going to kick his ass in the debate.
Oh, smack.
She is a skilled debater. But he's afraid to debate her because he's afraid of his record. He's afraid of having to defend a record that has been really dangerous and destructive.
He's afraid to debate her. He's afraid to debate her. But I say, come on down from high and debate this woman, and is going to kick your ass. Well, I mean, the cursing yesterday, he said Donald Trump needed to stop talking S about America. When did Josh Shapiro become like Lenny Bruce going out there dropping curse words? Except Lenny Bruce was funny. When did this occur? Is this how desperate Josh Shapiro is to be picked as governor of Pennsylvania? Because I'm feeling a little bit, I don't know, weird. Is that the right word? Weird? Because I think we heard that once or twice. Weird. The truth of the matter is that at any moment now, we're going to hear about more of these wacky meetings by people who are like white people going to meetings with Kamala Harris. There's a dude who went to a listening session, more white people for comments, because this is okay. You're allowed to do this now. You're allowed to do white people for Kamala Harris. And that's not racist, apparently. To segregate people by race and to say this is only for white people, you can only be here if you're white, you can only talk if you're white, that's apparently okay. So here's Sean Astin at the White Dudes for Kamala Harris meeting. This is like the beta male conference. A bunch of beta dudes, cucks, you know what that word, I'm not going to explain it, who all come out here to just show women that they have no testosterone. And that's the idea. They think that if they show they have no testosterone, I think they should just chop it off and just put it right on the table. Be like, I don't need this anymore. Here's my man card. Here's my family jewels. I'm giving it all up. Here you go. Take it.
He was always coming back to be with his men's group. I think they had more than white men in that group. So, but the idea that men can gather to talk about how we feel.
Yeah.
Interesting, powerful concept. And to include all, we said in our invitation, everyone is welcome. That's a really interesting phrase. Everyone is welcome.
If you're a white dude, yeah.
You might hear it in other places. I'm pretty sure you can feel that it's true here.
Uh-huh.
With this particular political party and this particular candidate.
That's the actor Sean Astin, who I think was in, what was he, in Goonies or something? I don't even remember, but... Is everybody feel good? Everybody feel good? All the betas coming together? all the beta males coming together and hanging out and being together. And it's just, to me, it's a little bit funny how desperate these people are and how they realize right now, and I think that they know this, that people think they're full of crap. They really do. I mean, to come out and scream that Donald Trump's a racist and then to have the white women for Kamala Harris meeting, the white dudes for Kamala Harris meeting, and to think that that's okay, and then at the same time scream that Trump's a racist. It's the kind of hypocrisy people see through a mile away. But this is what the left does all the time. They segregate people by race. They think it's fine to say we're going to have a whites-only event. I mean, Pete Buttigieg and Adam Schiff, they spoke at the White Dudes for Harris virtual event. More than 80,000 people have signed up to welcome Vice President Harris, but you have to be a white dude. And the headliner is Representative Adam Schiff. And Mark Hamill's going to it. And it literally says White Dudes for Kamala Harris with a hat on. That's like the logo. White Dudes for Kamala Harris. White Dudes for Harris. And I don't know how this is okay in America in the year 2024, because you can imagine the outrage if the other campaign did something like this. We'd be hearing about white Christian nationalism. We'd be hearing all the screams and cries and gnashing of teeth of the fact that white people are getting together to support Donald Trump. But in all the years he's run, I don't remember him ever doing a white dudes for Donald Trump or a white women for Donald Trump or any of these things. And yet we're told all the time that he's a racist and he's somebody who's a sexist and but they're literally the ones doing this. They're literally the ones who are engaged in doing this. Meanwhile, we have to listen to people on The View telling us that Donald Trump is again the next Hitler. And he's going to take away all of our rights, and he's scary, and he's going to segregate people, and this is what they do.
Okay, let's talk about what that was. She made sense. What was he talking about? Is he saying no one ever has to vote after they vote for him? What is he?
There's two interpretations.
What is
he's
going
either
on?
Saying you won't have to vote again because I'm going to stay there and there's not going to be another election. That's one interpretation. The other is, dear Christians, I'm going to remake this nation in such a way that it will embrace, you know, the laws will reflect your beliefs, that you won't need to vote because it's taken care of. Either, I think, should be concerning. He's talking about fundamentally changing things so much that you wouldn't even need to vote again in the future.
Does he think that Christians aren't going to notice, like if he remakes the world, that they're not going to notice he's not living in the world he's remade?
Right. Well, he also puts us all in a box that all us Christians see things the same way and want the same policies, which some of the most prominent Christians like Russell Moore, it's been a deep...
Wait a second. Who's putting people in boxes when you have white dudes for Kamala Harris, out of curiosity? Who's putting people in boxes when you do that? When you start putting people and segregating them by race and gender, who's putting people in boxes? Honestly, this is the problem with the left, is that their hypocrisy is on such full display and everybody can see it and everybody can see through it. And that's the bottom line. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. As we continue here on a Tuesday night, I got to tell you too, you know, the other day I saw the movie Deadpool and it was hysterical. I love all those Deadpool movies. They're great. They're very funny. They are very rated R. They're not the kind of thing you bring kids to, but I had a great time watching it. And one of my favorite lines, they really go after political correctness in this movie. And there's a great joke. I don't want to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'll just say this. The movie makes a lot of fun at the woke mob. And they poke a lot of fun at the woke mob, and I'm really glad about that. I'm glad, because I think people are tired of the woke mob. And they're tired of hearing things like, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes as white women. The preachy, feminist, liberal women that James Carville warned about. These are the people in charge right now. These are the people in charge of America, or trying to be in charge of America anyway. And I think that the success of the movie Deadpool is making a ton of money, and it's an absolutely politically incorrect 2 hours of mocking the woke mob, mocking outrage, mocking people that get offended. It's very funny. And I think the success of that shows you that America is simply tired of it. They're tired of the lectures. They're tired of being told, you can't say this. You belong in that group. You can't be part of this group. That group's trying to hurt that group. They're just tired of the gaslighting. And I think they've said enough. And I think that's why Kamala Harris is going to go down in flames, because she's exactly the candidate James Carville warned about. That if the Democrats nominate somebody like this, who's going to go out there and tell people how to live their lives and cause more division, it's going to be a disaster for them. And I think we're seeing that. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, as we continue along here on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, I am glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. We're having a good time. Always a good time. Always a fun time to be together on a Tuesday night. Appreciate it very much. Actually, I have to go. My daughter is doing a play tonight. Claire is in a play. And she is so excited. My little actress, 7 years old. She's got a lot of talent. She does. She has a lot of talent, my daughter. I'm very proud of her. And I'm proud of the fact that she's going to get on stage tonight. It's not easy, you know, when you're seven. But she's going to get up there and she's going to do it. And then I want to get Reagan. Also in theater, because Reagan is a natural actress, no question about it. I mean, not that Patrick isn't, but Patrick's more about sports. He's an athlete. My son is an athlete. He's all in. He's all in. Football, baseball, whatever it is, he loves to do it. And good for him. I mean, I think it's great. You always gotta, you know, go with what you want. Poly market betting still favors Trump bigly. I think if you want to look at where people are going with this election, follow the money. I always tell you that in life, right? It's one of my Cioli axioms. Follow the money. Follow the Fazools. So people ask me, you know, Rich, what's the impact of Kamala Harris on all this? Well, if you go to Poly Market, where people actually can bet on the election, Donald Trump is at a 59% chance of winning. Kamala Harris is at a 38% chance of winning. Now, this is based on people who are putting their actual money towards these candidates. So what does that tell you? I always think if people are willing to put money in something, they know it's probably going to be a good outcome for them. And so what's happening is people are watching the bump that Kamala Harris is getting, the Fugazi bump, and it is a Fugazi bump. And they're doing that. And then they're turning around and they're saying, I don't think it's going to last. I think Kamala Harris is going to wind up being a bust and Donald Trump is going to wind up winning. And they're right about that, and they're putting their money where their mouth is. So remember that. At least 11 transgender-identifying male felons are currently housed at a formerly women-only prison in Washington State. Many of them committed violent crimes against women and children before they entered the Washington Correction Center for Women, colloquially known as Purdy. Male convicts can be admitted into Purdy, located in Gig Harbor, if they complete a mental health assessment, healthcare assessment, and facility evaluation, and if several multidisciplinary teams approve their gender-inclusive housing request. The Washington Department of Corrections maintains that trans-identifying male applicants must make a compelling case justifying their request, but the burden of proof is quite low, according to the article from National Review. Now, you know, I was thinking about this because I've always said to you for a long time, if I was ever sentenced to prison, I would identify as a woman immediately. Immediately. It'd be like, guilty. And then I'd say, I'm a woman and I demand to be housed in a women's correctional facility. Now, I know what you're thinking. Rich, you know, there's some of those women there might be tougher than you. Oh, no question about it. But I know the guys at the prison are way tougher than me. At least I have a chance of possibly charming some of the women inmates. Plus, I've seen a lot of those women prison movies when I was growing up. So I think I have a good understanding of it. But I know that I'm a dead man in men's prison. I know that for a fact. So I'm clearly identified. And I don't know what guy wouldn't. Like, that's the other thing, too, is I don't know what man in his right mind, if he was sentenced to prison, would not immediately demand to be identified as a woman for the purposes of being housed at a women's correctional facility. Just from watching all the women's prison movies, it looks just like a much more fun place to be, and, you know, if you believe that, you know, prison is for rehabilitation, of course. MSNBC focus group on Trump and Kamala Harris does not go as planned. Black men share their views as Harris ramps up the campaign. I know I've mentioned James Carville's name a lot, but I keep reminding you that James Carville told Maureen Dowd back in March that these preachy liberal women are driving away black male voters in general, but black male voters in particular, because they don't want to be told that they can't have a cheeseburger and they can't have a gas grill in their backyard and they don't want a warning label on it and they don't want to be taxed on it. They want to be left the hell alone. And Carville's point is, listen, 48% of the voters are men. Why don't you stop driving them away? But I say, bring it on. Bring on the preachy. Bring on the preachy, lefty, elitist, feminist women who are going to tell men how to live their lives, and you're going to get results like this.
How many of you know a black man who has expressed to you that they're committed to voting for Donald Trump?
Four hands go up.
For the brothers who have told you that or said that to you, has the emergence of Kamala Harris changed that for those brothers?
No, it hasn't. All four hands go up. All the brothers, as he put it, are voting for Donald Trump. And the emergence of Kamala Harris has not changed a thing. Nope. They all shook their heads. And the thing about it is, when you watch the video, they didn't even hesitate to shake their heads. They were like, no, absolutely not. Not, it's no. The answer is no. Oh, that's awkward, huh? That's really awkward. You gotta think to yourself, man, they got a problem here. They got a problem. But so now what they're trying to do is they're now trying to go out there and say that Republicans, and this is true, that Republican, this is what, I'm not saying it's true, I'm saying what they're trying to argue now. Republicans supporting pro-life policies, even though they would probably save a lot of black babies, since, you know, when you look at the abortion statistics, there are more black abortions in this country than there are white ones. But that this is something that they're trying to do to get more white children or something. Again, this is very hard to understand. This is why this argument's not going to work with voters, because it makes no sense. But this, take a listen.
Yeah, it is. The stats are there. More and more Americans choosing not to have kids, which again emphasizes why J.D. Vance's comments right. about childless Americans, childless cat ladies,
right.
could be so politically damaging.
Well, so what's interesting is this natalism that comes from an authoritarian playbook, right?
What?
That there need to be more white children, right? That's the idea that there's, you know, this is about great replacement theory, racism, right?
Huh?
This is what this is. So don't misunderstand it for him wanting.
J.D. Vance has mixed race children, by the way. Do they know that his kids are mixed race? Not that it matters to me, because I don't view people in that fashion, because I'm not insane. But doesn't that mean anything? Also, too, if you're pro-life, don't you want more? Aren't you going to get more black kids as a result if there are less abortions? Yes, 100%. Natalism. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why, again, I'm echoing James Carville, because he talks like that. Real people don't go around talking about natalism. Nobody even knows what the hell that means. And I'm not looking it up either. I'm too tired. I've been on the radio since 3 o'clock. There's no way I'm looking that up. But nobody even knows what that means. But this is the point. You have this preachy, academic, liberal, feminist woman using terms like natalism and arguing that people who want kids are racist and are trying to make America more white. So if you want children, if you want a family, it's because you're trying to make America more white. Now, my wife and I have adopted two mixed race children. Again, I don't look at my kids as mixed race. I look at my children as my children. And then we have a bio baby surprise who I guess is white. I don't know. I mean, I'm Italian. I think I'm pretty mixed race. I think everybody pretty much is. Except for the woman whose family came here on the Mayflower, the one that the black woman who's always on TV whining about everything. And then it turns out her family came from on the Mayflower, and she was like, oh, my God, really? For real? Yeah, they did. But otherwise, isn't everybody kind of mixed race in America right now, in this day and age, in some capacity, some shape or form? And I don't even know what they mean by that, because what is it like if you don't have a true line to Scandinavia that you're not mixed? I don't get even what that means, because a lot of Europe is mixed race. Like, Italy's in Europe. I don't know if you know that or not. So I don't really understand this whole argument, other than it's complete and utter nonsense. Let's keep going.
Or children. He wants a certain kind of, you know, racist thing. So I would say, it's certainly true. And attacking people for not having children is really cruel. Right. Because some people can't have children. Some people, you know, want to have children and, you know, can't, you know, miss the window.
Miss the window to have children. I first of all, arguing that people should have children because families are a positive thing for the country, why is that a bad thing all of a sudden? Like, why is it a bad thing to say people should have kids? I know it's not for everybody, and I know some people can't have biological children. We adopted two children, and we're so blessed. We love our – they're our kids. We love them. It makes no difference, but we wanted a family. We wanted kids. Why is that suddenly a bad thing? Like, when did having children become some sort of a racist, white Christian nationalist marching call? People, there are black families with kids. I don't know. Do they know this? Like, are they aware of the fact that black people have children too in America? And they're allowed to. They're legally allowed to. They changed the law last year. I don't understand how these people keep coming up with utter nonsense to complain about. It's like, oh my God, people who want kids, it's about white nationalism. Well, what about the Hispanic people that have children? Do those kids get taken off to camps and they're removed from society? Is there like a test where they check you for whiteness when you're born? I mean, I know the left doesn't like it when the doctor goes, congratulations, you have a baby boy. How dare you suggest my son's gender? But is there now a test for European purity that I missed? Because I'll tell you, my family failed it. We flunked that test, yet somehow we're here.
Okay. Go after people.
Yeah, it's so interesting. We live in this news cycle of politicians, people say stupid things, and then the parade moves on. This J.D. Vance parade is not going to move on. It was just something that hit a nerve with people. As I said, and you use the word cruel, I use the word cruel, that I think Vance, I don't know if Vance is here in the end. We'll see.
Yeah, it's hard for
I don't know if Kamala Harris is here in the end, because if this is the best attack point that you have, which is that J.D. Vance said people should have kids, and he wanted to provide tax credits for people who have children. Look, you can argue the merits of giving tax credits to people with children, but it's currently the law of the land. And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong on this point, but I'm pretty sure that most people with children appreciate that, because raising kids is incredibly expensive. So I don't, you know, you can argue about tax policy. You can argue about tax policy all you want. Some people, like, I would love a flat tax. You know, no deductions. This is your flat tax and that's what it is. And then boom, be done. I'd be fine with that. But the fact that J.D. Vance talked about tax deductions for children, which is something that is the law of the land in America, and using that policy to advance something, they freak out over that fact. But at the same time, these people will tell you that you should have tax credits for driving electric vehicles. So they'll push whatever policies they want using the tax code. They're just now trying to find the idea that pushing family, which 5 minutes ago was a good thing in America, like having a family was a good thing. Not for everybody, and some people don't want kids, and some people who can't have biological kids. I've told you before, I think adoption is one of the greatest things in the world. I do. I think it's such a gift, but it may not be for everybody, all right? There's lots of other ways too. I mean, but the point is that the left will use the tax code to advance all their nutty, wacko environmental policies in a heartbeat. You should get a credit for driving an EV. You should be taxed higher if you eat meat. You should be taxed more if you have a gas car. They do this all the time. And I'm fine to have a debate over whether or not the tax code should be incentivizing anything or disincentivizing anything. Bring that debate on. But if we're going to have a tax code that does those things, the idea now that the left is freaking out because J.D. Vance said, oh, well, we should use it to help promote family in America. So let me understand the Democrats' point now. They're running as the anti-family party. Is that their new thing now? We hate kids. We hate families. That's going to play well with families. That's going to play well with parents who have children. I think it's going to be a winning issue for them. Oh, yeah. No. Go out there and tell all these moms and dads who have had their chops busted for years by the government, by school boards, who were called terrorists by Merrick Garland for speaking out at school board meetings when they didn't want their kids wearing masks and being out of school. Go out and tell them now the Democrat Party hates kids and hates families and wants to do everything they possibly can to destroy the family unit, because now it's apparently racist. Tell that to families, black, white, Hispanic, green, brown, whatever. There are even gay people that adopt children, Pete Buttigieg. I don't know if you know this or not, because you did. So, yeah, this is the left's now talking point. Family's bad, kids bad, America good if we do a war on family. These people are freaking insane. They have no message. That's what it is going into this election. They have no message. And a lot of the families that are out there right now would love to take their kids to Mickey D's to get them a Happy Meal, and they can't. Because McDonald's sales are down right now because people can't afford to take their kids to McDonald's, which in my opinion is a great treat because McDonald's for kids is wonderful. And I'm sorry, the food police can kiss my you know what, because a kid eating a Happy Meal once in a while is not going to die. Sorry, but they're not. They're going to enjoy what I enjoyed as a kid, which is a Happy Meal. If you feed them that every day, yeah, the kid's going to have some health problems. We're not talking about that. And for the most part, parents can't even take their kids there now as a treat. The Democrats hate families. So the winning message in 2024. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You've heard a lot about the Olympics and how people were outraged at the opening ceremony, anti-Christian imagery, whether or not it was the Last Supper or some Greek orgy dinner fest recreation with transgender people. And but have you heard this? Paris spent $1.5 billion cleaning poop out of the Seine River, and it's still too dirty for Olympic swimming. Athletes can't swim in the Seine River after Paris wasted $1.5 billion trying to clean it for the Olympics. This is from Reason.com. As nearly 10,500 athletes from 184 countries floated down the Seine River in the pouring rain during the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics at the end of last week, American sports commentator Mike Tirico announced that the E. coli levels in the famous river were too high for swimmers to compete in the events that they had scheduled for that day. How about that? Too much E. coli. How freaking gross is that, huh? Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not as gross as the opening ceremony was, but it's still pretty gross. Paris knew the river would pose some health problems. The river has been illegal to swim in for over 100 years. I'm sorry. I keep thinking of the people who swam in the Schuylkill. Remember that when it flooded a few years ago and people were jumping off the Vine Expressway to swim in the Schuylkill? And I kept thinking to myself, either they're going to die, or they're going to be so immune, like swamp thing. They're going to emerge and just never get sick for the rest of their lives. Kind of like me in that dunk tank. I think that dunk tank that I did years ago at the Children's Behind the Badge bike race, the Bend to the Shore at Atlantic City, I think that dunk tank is probably more disgusting than this river in Paris. That's my opinion anyway. After a spring with an abnormal amount of rainfall, tests of the river's water found that the levels of E. coli bacteria were more than 20 times higher than what the World Triathlon considers acceptable. But the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, still jumped into the river earlier this month in an effort to instill confidence that the waterway was just fine. But a small dip is very different from submerging yourself for hours of racing. She jumped into that filthy, disgusting river. Wee wee. No, literally, there's a lot of wee wee in that river, among other things. Wee wee is the least of your worries about it. Paris hasn't hosted the Olympics in 100 years, and the largest investment the city made for this global event was not a new stadium, not a new sports arena, but a $1.5 billion underground tunnel and water storage facility meant to purify the river for the triathlon and open water swimming races. And if this fancy new system designed to clean one of the dirtiest rivers in the world didn't work, well, Paris didn't feel the need to come up with a plan B other than postponing and possibly changing the triathlon to a duathlon. This is not the first time water conditions created controversy during the Olympic Games. Time and again, countries prioritize the picturesque or television-friendly venues without considering the very real health risks that are present in many of the world's famous waterways. In 2016, Rio de Janeiro wanted to put the swimmers off the beaches of Copacabana. And during the 2020 Tokyo Games, the swimmers competed in Odaiba Marine Park. Both locations are the largest site of each city's sewage runoff. I didn't know the Copacabana beach. I knew the club had a lot of that kind of dirty runoff. I didn't think the beach did, but you learn something every day. In Paris, one athlete is taking matters into his own unwashed hands. American triathlete Seth Ryder believes he can ward off serious infection by increasing my E. coli threshold and not washing his hands after using the bathroom. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? You know, somebody who served up an undercooked bat burger with a pangolin aioli and a side of raccoon dog fries didn't wash his hands, and we got a global pandemic. I'm just saying. Actually, it's not how we got a global pandemic. We got the global pandemic because they made a virus in a lab, and that virus got out and paid for by Fauci. But I digress. Other athletes are upping their probiotic intake in the hopes of building a stronger gut to withstand an infection. The Olympic triathletes had their scheduled training sessions canceled on both Sunday, July 28th and Monday, July 29th because the E. coli level was still too high in the river. And this morning, the men's triathlon, the first race that was scheduled to take place in the Seine, was postponed. For the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, the plan is to host the outdoor swimming events along Laguna Beach, which for now appears to be safer than that filthy river in Paris. But the U.S. could still come up with a backup plan that doesn't involve wasting billions of taxpayer dollars or athletes making questionable hygiene decisions. It's a fair point. First of all, I think if you go to the bathroom and don't wash your hands, it's just disgusting. Even if you're trying to do it to prepare yourself for swimming in one of the filthiest rivers in the world. I personally think that that is just absolutely disgusting. But that's me. Oh, speaking of Fauci, Santo Fauci, the nation, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, you always have to say that by law, of course. Turns out Fauci, accused of lying to Congress, used private email with a Beetlegate journalist. A watchdog group is accusing Santo Fauci of having lied to Congress last month when he claimed he never used private email to conduct official business, pointing to newly obtained records on the Beetlegate scandal, though his attorney has denied all wrongdoing. This is from the New York Post. Fauci told the journalist in October of 2021 that he would reach out to them through his private email address during a public relations firestorm over research being conducted on beagle puppies by his National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. You remember this. They were killing dogs. Fauci was a dog murderer. FOIA records obtained by the White Coat Waste Project and exclusively shared with the New York Post show that Fauci was trying to go behind the scenes to email regarding the puppy slaughter scandal. By the way, they do great work at the White Coat Waste Project of exposing all of Fauci's demented experiments. And the guy is a sicko. He's a sick puppy, no pun intended. The controversial agency-funded research included the tormenting and killing of beagle puppies in Tunisia to learn more about a parasitic disease. St. Fauci initially denied involvement, but then it was confirmed this year that his agency indeed approved the grants for the experiments. Quote, from an email Fauci sent on October 29th, 2021, to the Washington Post reporter Yasmin Abtulib, who had expressed sympathy about the spate of crazy articles that were surfacing about Fauci. Because obviously a lefty corporate journalist is like, you're my hero. Brad Pitt played you on Saturday Night Live. I can't believe people are being mean to you. So Fauci wrote the following. I will send you an email via my private Gmail account. Ooh, she's sliding into his private Gmail. Look at that. Of course, when you do that, you can avoid FOIA requests since it won't be on a government server. And that's exactly what these slime balls tried to do. These criminals tried to evade federal law, Federal Freedom of Information Act law. That's what they did. How these people are not arrested yet is beyond me. Earlier emails in the thread show Fauci had shared an article from the left-leaning fact-check website Snopes about his oversight of HIV clinical drug trials on foster children during the 1980s in an apparent attempt to cast doubt on his connection to the Beagle experiments, which were absolutely 100% true. He was trying to do a little subterfuge there. The Snopes article referenced rumors meant to disparage Fauci that included claims that HIV trials murdered disabled children. It also suggested Fauci was not responsible for allegations that included his approval of the taxpayer-funded Tunisian dog experiments, which at the time had prompted a bipartisan letter of condemnation from members of Congress. Turns out that Republicans and Democrats can agree on things, especially when it includes the slaughter of beautiful little bugle puppies. That's what we call bipartisanship right there. As per our discussion, more of the same, Fauci wrote to the journalist, apparently dismissing questions about the experiments as ludicrous, though he later confirmed to a House subcommittee on June 3rd that he signed off on the grants that funded them. White Coat Waste Project in 2022 also released internal documents from Fauci's organization that included the full grant proposal for the puppy killing. The email exchange raises serious questions about Fauci potentially conducting government business from a private account in direct violation of federal record-keeping laws, and of course, contradicting his own testimony to Congress earlier this year, where he lied under oath and should be charged with perjury. David Shurtler, an attorney for Fauci, told the Post that the former allergy head stands by his June 3rd testimony before Congress. This attorney, by the way, is also representing convicted Senator Bob Menendez's wife, Nadine, who also killed the guy with a car and never even got a breathalyzer or anything else. And her only concern that night was, who's going to fix my Mercedes? The Mercedes that was obtained through her husband's and her own corruption, allegedly, since she has not been found guilty yet. For that reason, Dr. Fauci used his personal email account to communicate about the matter, his attorney said. Because the email involved a personal matter, the attorney said, a personal matter. But White Coat Waste Project founder and president Anthony Bellotti told the Post that the email was proof that Fauci broke federal law. He said, quote, we followed the money. We've exposed how Fauci lied under oath about not funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Animal Lab, and that he lied about not bankrolling beagle torture in Tunisia, and now that he broke federal law by using his personal email to evade FOIA requests about Beetlegate and secretly communicate with a Washington Post reporter, and then published disinformation to protect him and discredit the White Coat Waste Lab project. Fauci is the poster child for government corruption, and Congress needs to hold him accountable for his abuses, which carry criminal penalties, including fines and jail time. In a fact check last month on the Beaglegate experiments, the Washington Post showed that the NIH project in Tunisia was scrubbed from a grant database weeks after members of the press began inquiring about it in 2021 as a result of the White Coat Waste Project unearthing the experiments. Fauci asked his staff for details about the grant that year in late October. One of the agency's employees later pressured the journal that published a study to remove its affiliation. But representatives later said it funded a separate but similar study involving sandflies. But they were trying to get away from the idea that they were killing beagle puppies by saying, oh, no, we were doing sandflies. But the truth of the matter is that on his June 3rd testimony, it was true and it came out that, yes, they were conducting gain-of-function research and they were using secret back channels between him and Peter Daszak and other people to communicate and to evade the law. There's a lot to this and there needs to be more investigations and Fauci needs to be charged. There's no question about it in my mind. Have a great rest of your night. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Enjoy your night. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard a lot about the Olympics and how people were outraged at the opening ceremony, anti-Christian imagery, whether or not it was the Last Supper or some Greek orgy dinner fest recreation with transgender people. And but have you heard this? Paris spent $1.5 billion cleaning poop out of the Seine River, and it's still too dirty for Olympic swimming. Athletes can't swim in the Seine River after Paris wasted $1.5 billion trying to clean it for the Olympics. This is from Reason.com. As nearly 10,500 athletes from 184 countries floated down the Seine River in the pouring rain during the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics at the end of last week, American sports commentator Mike Tirico announced that the E. coli levels in the famous river were too high for swimmers to compete in the events that they had scheduled for that day. How about that? Too much E. coli. How freaking gross is that, huh? Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not as gross as the opening ceremony was, but it's still pretty gross. Paris knew the river would pose some health problems. The river has been illegal to swim in for over 100 years. I'm sorry. I keep thinking of the people who swam in the Schuylkill. Remember that when it flooded a few years ago and people were jumping off the Vine Expressway to swim in the Schuylkill? And I kept thinking to myself, either they're going to die Or they're going to be so immune, like Swamp Thing. They're going to emerge and just never get sick for the rest of their lives. Kind of like me in that dunk tank. I think that dunk tank that I did years ago at the Children's Behind the Badge bike race, the Bend to the Shore at Atlantic City, I think that dunk tank is probably more disgusting than this river in Paris. That's my opinion anyway. After a spring with an abnormal amount of rainfall, tests of the river's water found that the levels of E. coli bacteria were more than 20 times higher than what the World Triathlon considers acceptable. But the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, still jumped into the river earlier this month in an effort to instill confidence that the waterway was just fine. But a small dip is very different from submerging yourself for hours of racing. She jumped into that filthy, disgusting river. Wee wee. No, literally, there's a lot of wee wee in that river, among other things. Wee wee is the least of your worries about it. Paris hasn't hosted the Olympics in 100 years, and the largest investment the city made for this global event was not a new stadium, not a new sports arena, but a $1.5 billion underground tunnel and water storage facility meant to purify the river for the triathlon and open water swimming races. And if this fancy new system designed to clean one of the dirtiest rivers in the world didn't work, well, Paris didn't feel the need to come up with a plan B other than postponing and possibly changing the triathlon to a duathlon. This is not the first time water conditions created controversy during the Olympic Games. Time and again, countries prioritize the picturesque or television-friendly venues without considering the very real health risks that are present in many of the world's famous waterways. In 2016, Rio de Janeiro wanted to put the swimmers off the beaches of Copacabana. And during the 2020 Tokyo Games, the swimmers competed in Odaiba Marine Park. Both locations are the largest site of each city's sewage runoff. I didn't know the Copacabana beach. I knew the club had a lot of that kind of dirty runoff. I didn't think the beach did, but you learn something every day. In Paris, one athlete is taking matters into his own unwashed hands. American triathlete Seth Ryder believes he can ward off serious infection by increasing my E. coli threshold and not washing his hands after using the bathroom. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? You know, somebody who served up an undercooked bat burger with a pangolin aioli and a side of raccoon dog fries didn't wash his hands, and we got a global pandemic. I'm just saying. Actually, it's not how we got a global pandemic. We got the global pandemic because they made a virus in a lab, and that virus got out and paid for by Fauci. But I digress. Other athletes are upping their probiotic intake in the hopes of building a stronger gut to withstand an infection. The Olympic triathletes had their scheduled training sessions canceled on both Sunday, July 28th and Monday, July 29th because the E. coli level was still too high in the river. And this morning, the men's triathlon, the first race that was scheduled to take place in the Seine, was postponed. For the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, the plan is to host the outdoor swimming events along Laguna Beach, which for now appears to be safer than that filthy river in Paris. But the U.S. could still come up with a backup plan that doesn't involve wasting billions of taxpayer dollars or athletes making questionable hygiene decisions. It's a fair point. First of all, I think if you go to the bathroom and don't wash your hands, it's just disgusting. Even if you're trying to do it to prepare yourself for swimming in one of the filthiest rivers in the world. I personally think that that is just absolutely disgusting, but that's me. Oh, speaking of Fauci, Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, you always have to say that by law, of course. Turns out Fauci, accused of lying to Congress, used private email with a Beetlegate journalist. A watchdog group is accusing Asanto Fauci of having lied to Congress last month when he claimed he never used private email to conduct official business, pointing to newly obtained records on the Beetlegate scandal, though his attorney has denied all wrongdoing. This is from the New York Post. Fauci told the journalist in October of 2021 that he would reach out to them through his private email address during a public relations firestorm over research being conducted on beagle puppies by his National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. You remember this. They were killing dogs. Fauci was a dog murderer. FOIA records obtained by the White Coat Waste Project and exclusively shared with the New York Post show that Fauci was trying to go behind the scenes to email regarding the puppy slaughter scandal. By the way, they do great work at the White Coat Waste Project of exposing all of Fauci's demented experiments. And the guy is a sicko. He's a sick puppy, no pun intended. The controversial agency-funded research included the tormenting and killing of beagle puppies in Tunisia to learn more about a parasitic disease. St. Fauci initially denied involvement, but then it was confirmed this year that his agency indeed approved the grants for the experiments. Quote, from an email Fauci sent on October 29th, 2021, to the Washington Post reporter Yasmin Abtulib, who had expressed sympathy about the spate of crazy articles that were surfacing about Fauci. Because obviously a lefty corporate journalist is like, you're my hero. Brad Pitt played you on Saturday Night Live. I can't believe people are being mean to you. So Fauci wrote the following. I will send you an email via my private Gmail account. Ooh, she's sliding into his private Gmail. Look at that. Of course, when you do that, you can avoid FOIA requests since it won't be on a government server. And that's exactly what these slime balls tried to do. These criminals tried to evade federal law, Federal Freedom of Information Act law. That's what they did. How these people are not arrested yet is beyond me. Earlier emails in the thread show Fauci had shared an article from the left-leaning fact-check website Snopes about his oversight of HIV clinical drug trials on foster children during the 1980s in an apparent attempt to cast doubt on his connection to the Beagle experiments, which were absolutely 100% true. He was trying to do a little subterfuge there. The Snopes article referenced rumors meant to disparage Fauci that included claims that HIV trials murdered disabled children. It also suggested Fauci was not responsible for allegations that included his approval of the taxpayer-funded Tunisian dog experiments, which at the time had prompted a bipartisan letter of condemnation from members of Congress. Turns out that Republicans and Democrats can agree on things, especially when it includes the slaughter of beautiful little bugle puppies. That's what we call bipartisanship right there. As for our discussion, more of the same, Fauci wrote to the journalist, apparently dismissing questions about the experiments as ludicrous, though he later confirmed to a House subcommittee on June 3rd that he signed off on the grants that funded them. White Coat Waste Project in 2022 also released internal documents from Fauci's organization that included the full grant proposal for the puppy killing. The email exchange raises serious questions about Fauci potentially conducting government business from a private account in direct violation of federal record-keeping laws, and of course, contradicting his own testimony to Congress earlier this year, where he lied under oath and should be charged with perjury. David Shurtler, an attorney for Fauci, told the Post that the former allergy head stands by his June 3rd testimony before Congress. This attorney, by the way, is also representing convicted Senator Bob Menendez's wife, Nadine, who also killed the guy with a car and never even got a breathalyzer or anything else. And her only concern that night was, who's going to fix my Mercedes? The Mercedes that was obtained through her husband's and her own corruption, allegedly, since she has not been found guilty yet. For that reason, Dr. Fauci used his personal email account to communicate about the matter, his attorney said. Because the email involved a personal matter, the attorney said, a personal matter. But White Coat Waste Project founder and president Anthony Bilotti told the Post that the email was proof that Fauci broke federal law. He said, quote, we follow the money. We've exposed how Fauci lied under oath about not funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Animal Lab and that he lied about not bankrolling beagle torture in Tunisia and now that he broke federal law by using his personal email to evade FOIA requests about Beetlegate and secretly communicate with a Washington Post reporter and then published disinformation to protect him and discredit the White Coat Waste Lab project. Fauci is the poster child for government corruption, and Congress needs to hold him accountable for his abuses, which carry criminal penalties, including fines and jail time. In a fact check last month on the Beaglegate experiments, the Washington Post showed that the NIH project in Tunisia was scrubbed from a grant database weeks after members of the press began inquiring about it in 2021 as a result of the White Coat Waste Project unearthing the experiments. Fauci asked his staff for details about the grant that year in late October. One of the agency's employees later pressured the journal that published a study to remove its affiliation. But representatives later said it was funded a separate but similar study involving sandflies. But they were trying to get away from the idea that they were killing beagle puppies by saying, oh, no, 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 we were doing sand flies. But the truth of the matter is that on his June 3rd testimony, it was true and it came out that, yes, they were conducting gain-of-function research and they were using secret back channels between him and Peter Daszak and other people to communicate and to evade the law. There's a lot to this and there needs to be more investigations. And Fauci needs to be charged. There's no question about it in my mind. Have a great rest of your night. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Enjoy your night. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.